I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Are you training to the point of transforming? Because that is the goal. Because training and transforming, that's like the Apostle Paul's often repeated 1-2 punch for true believers, right? Starts off, for God made his light shine in our dark hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Read that with me, please. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You see, the Father delivered us from the power of the darkness that was in our hearts and transferred us, well, to the kingdom of the power of the light of his beloved Son, because he is the image of the invisible God that no one can see, but now we can see him, we can see his face. But we're told in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that there's this face veil. A face veil remains over his glory, okay? When the old covenant, the Old Testament is read, because only in Christ, in the new covenant, in the New Testament, is it taken away so that we can actually see God. And so we all of the new covenant, of the New Testament, we all with unveiled face, the unveiled face of Christ, beholding the power of the light, of the knowledge, of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. You can't not be if you got all here beholding all that. We're being transformed into the same image from just one degree of glory to another. Doesn't ask for a lot. Just one, give me one degree. Because that's grace. For the grace of God has appeared, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age while waiting for the appearing of, well, the ultimate glory, right? Of the great God, our great God and Savior. Therefore, train yourself. It's all been laid out for you. Train yourself. You know what you're supposed to look like. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, and let's just confess, that guy looks good, right? Bodily training. I heard that true down there. Said with a little too much passion. Aim that toward Jesus. Bodily training is of some value. Godliness training, right? That's what we're talking about here. Godliness training is of value in every way, because that guy's going to get old and wrinkly, okay? But godliness training is of value in every way, as it alone holds promise for the present life, the temporary life, and also for the life to come, the everlasting life to come. So offer your bodies as like these ever living, have that in mind, these ever living sacrifices, because this training is your spiritual act of worship. That's it. This training is your spiritual act of worship, you know, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God train your brain. Rather, retrain your brain. For all scripture, this is how he does it, all scripture is God breathed for training in righteousness. But for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Well, I mean, to those who have been trained by it, of course. But, because here's the thing, solid food, like that fruit of righteousness, is for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. The word act is right in the middle of that, practice, to distinguish good from evil. That's our spiritual practice of worship. And as most of you know, training involves supplements, right? Can't have training without your supplements. So make every effort to supplement your faith. See what I did there? Supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. And supplement knowledge with self-control, and maybe with self-control, add a little steadfastness, and supplement some your steadfastness with some godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, sisterly affection, all kinds of affection, with true love, you know, true love, one degree at a time. For if these qualities are yours, my goodness, if these are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the power of the light of, well, the knowledge of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Training for transforming is all about heart and focus, because we cannot grow in godliness without acting on the small things that gradually gain the victory over the big things. That's our spiritual acting of worship. And this is here comes my whole point for the day. I hope this just frees you up as it has me. It's not about trying harder, okay? In fact, it's about trying for less. It's not about trying harder, but training smarter. And yet I look around, so many believers feel so defeated the moment they're winded, you know, the moment sin gets the best of them. And that's because most believers have failure all backwards. They don't think of it in terms of training. See, you don't just try to lift 500 pounds. That's silly. You train to lift 500 pounds. And how do you train to lift 500 pounds? Oh, by trying to lift just one degree more each workout. Go for less. You'll grow more. We overwhelm ourselves too quickly. Try for too much too soon. You'll ruin yourself. You'll ruin yourself. So you got to make a training plan. Because trying and failing feels like losing. And we don't like that. And we'll just ignore that part of our life. Whereas the goal of training is to push yourself to the point of failure. That's it. When an athlete in training pushes to failure, they see that as a success, right? They feel good about the gains to come. Whereas the poor dumbbell who tries to lift too much too soon just feels like a failure because he's trying to force what only comes by gaining through training, by trying for less. There's so much in that. Say it with me. He's trying to force what only comes by gaining through training, by trying for less. If you got this and walked out with it, it would change the arc of your spiritual growth. We just always try for too much, and then we fail, and then we feel like a loser, and then we just want to ignore that part. And what would this guy do? He tries to lift 500, he can't. He'd probably just decide weightlifting is dumb and then just quit practicing, because it's way easier to change our beliefs than our behavior, right? Which is why we so often find that those inside the church can be just as anxious and not you, but you know who I'm talking about, just as anxious and angry and envious and exhausted as those outside the church. Because transformation takes determination, because incremental growth takes endurance. And when we're winded, it's just so much easier to change the way we keep score. Unless we make failing part of our growing. Because failing not only can give us a moment, a benchmark in which to measure ourselves, but to see the growth. Failing can actually help us to see the tiny, the little victories that we need to celebrate, because very rare you're going to have huge victories without a lot of little wins along the way to build to that. So we need to celebrate all the little wins along the way. I'm going to tell you something I did. I do a lot of things. I'm trying to live out my faith for real. And years ago, I started tracking each time I caught myself ignoring the Lord's nudging. You know, so I kept an actual list. I took it with me of the things that I knew I should have done but didn't. And I really, write that down. And of course, the things I knew I shouldn't have done but did. So I got my two columns going. And I'll tell you, I realized rather quickly that I needed some gains in patience. And I needed them right now. So, funny but true. So I decided to go, what do I do? I'm driving around and I think, I know what I'll do. I will go into patience training. So I put together a patience training plan that was basically, I'm going to start looking for opportunities to exercise that atrophied muscle. So instead of just wait until I blow it, I'm going to actually watch for when it's starting. So, oh, this is a chance. It's a chance to lift 5 pounds. Let's see if I can do this. And so right about that time, I drove to Canada. You've heard many of my Canada. I don't know what God has with Canada in me, but some of the best stories. I told you this when it happened years ago, so you might remember it, but it's a great story, and it's all true. Didn't need any exaggerating, because every last part of this is true. So I'm telling God I'm training, and I drive to Canada, and they stop me at the border. All I can assume in hindsight is they must have got a call about watch for a certain car, make, model, color, I don't know. Because my goodness, did they think I was a drug smuggler. And they had me pull over and the police pull up and 6 men and a big yellow dog, they go at it with my car. And they are all through that thing. And that dog is up over the seats and in the back window. And they've got the mirrors underneath and the trunk open and the lid open. And they really do a number on. And I'm just standing there watching and I'm thinking, I'm in training. I am in training. Oh, you'll have to try harder than this. So I was happy to oblige. And when those 6 men and that big yellow dog were done, I thanked them for the work they do. Then I opened the car door to find the dark, dark blue velour interior just absolutely covered in dog hair. Right? And I smiled. I was actually amused. I remember thinking, and I did kind of that. I mean, because obviously God had taken an interest in my training. That had his signature all over it. It was like, and I just went, I did really good. Did really good. My attitude felt like an act of worship. Pulled out, immediately drove onto this interchange. You've probably all seen it. It's a weird one. It's not like a regular freeway on-ramp. You got a yield sign and a really short throw. And I have the yield sign, so I slowed down. But the oncoming car slowed down too. So I slowed down, and he slowed down, and I slowed down, and he slowed down. Long story short, at 20 miles per hour, he guns it and gives me the finger. But not only am I on my game, I kind of won that one, so that felt good. So after that, I decide I need a coffee, and I order coffee from a drive-through speaker, and I'm charged double on the screen. And I point that out. You've charged me double. And they say that I was mistaken. I've not been charged double. It's on the screen, but okay. So after I politely pointed it out, and only to be told I'm wrong, I'm in training, I happily pay, I pull up, I happily pay, and then when I get the receipt, I show it to the cashier, because in no way am I paying an extra $1.50 for that coffee. So I pull up to the next one, and then they hand me my coffee, and I say, it's missing the cream and sugar. And they say they already put it in, and I say, did you? And then I make them give me more. And I pull ahead and I take a sip, and they hadn't. So I park so I can add the extra cream and sugar that I had to demand. And then I realize there's no stir stick and I can't find it. So I just grab a pin from the floor of the car and stir my coffee. And in that moment, I literally looked up and actually out loud said, "You win, you win." To which I almost heard our Savior say, "That's it? because I could have done this all day. Now, our Father isn't out to get us. However, and it's a big however, He's absolutely out to train us. And He just loves when we allow ourselves to be transformed by training, by trying to gain by degrees. Oh, just make it through that McDonald's drive-thru without yelling at the poor girl. And then celebrate that victory. But then also by using our failures to see our successes. You see, I had sensed all along that He was part of this thing going on and that He was cheering me on. I felt so good. Felt so good there. Right up until the stir stick took me down. And when I said, "You win," I was just angry. And I said, "You win." And all of a sudden it was really funny. I just hearing myself say that out loud and just talking to God out loud. I don't normally talk to Him out loud. And I started laughing because it's just funny because what an idiot, what a dumbbell. And I start replaying the events. It's like, wow, you really stacked the events up and played them out in my head and realized my parking lot fit suddenly felt more like an athlete taking a break between sets to recover and refresh because I'm ready to go again now. You know, let's do another set of reps to failure. And I didn't feel bad at all about failing. And I'll tell you why. And it is because you can't even imagine the dog hair I was sitting in. And I totally nailed that one. And I sat there laughing and I look at this dog hair covering every square inch of that car, you know, and sipping the coffee and pulling the hairs out. No, that's actually an exaggeration. But somebody gave me the idea after first service to say it. And I sat there looking at that dog and thinking, wow, that was it. I went far this time. Let's see how far I can go this next time. You ever heard the saying, don't pray for patience because God will give it to you, right? The thinking being, what, that God will send trials and frustrations to force you to develop this fruit of His Spirit. But it's a lie. It's not true at all. For one huge reason, He doesn't need to, you know. Haven't you noticed they're all around you? There will never be a shortage of irritating people and infuriating situations. You know why? That's how, amen. They finally got an amen out of you. That's how it works down here. We're all broken. This whole place is broken if you haven't noticed. So by all means, do pray for patience. Because I'll tell you what He will do. He'll open your eyes. That's why it feels like He does it, because we ignore so much. He'll open your eyes and then He'll soften your heart and He will cheer you on and let you know. And quite likely He'll laugh at your stir stick fit, whatever it is. And then even when you fail, you won't feel like a failure, like a loser, and be tempted to change the way you measure up and or keep score. Let's go back to Jesus. Do you know that almost every conflict, pretty much everyone, between the religious and Jesus was over just three things? Dietary laws and holy days, and circumcision. Those are the three biggies. And you know why? Because that's how they kept score. So Jesus was this huge threat because He didn't want to talk about any of that stuff. Because He focused on true hearts rather than superficial expressions. And yet, this is the weird part. They all, doesn't matter if a Pharisee, Sadducee, zealot, Jesus, whoever, they all agreed on the gold standard by which true believers were supposed to self-assess. It's right here. One time, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing and seeing that Jesus answered them well, you know, he's like, okay, I got this. He asked him, Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? You've probably heard this. And Jesus answered. And I'm sure everyone just stopped. Okay, what's he going to say? And Jesus answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And there's the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you're right. He had to admit, you're right. Because he was, and they all agreed, this is the heart of the law. Love our Father above all by loving others above yourself. Say it with me. Love our Father above all by loving others above yourself. Sounds so simple, but that's the goal. We all agree. So all that's left is to evaluate your current condition and start training to the point of failure, because that's the point of transforming step by step. Because I'll let you in on a secret. Patience, it is not about enduring frustration. It's about trusting our Creator and loving our neighbor. That's all. That's what patience is. Trusting God and loving others. Now, if you're already a very patient person, find another fault and go with that. You have many to choose from. If you can't find a fault, you're like, oh, I don't know. Then obviously just go with self-deluding pride. But patience, oh, we all relate to patience. It's a great starting point for training because it's so obvious when you lose it. So it's very easy to track your progress. And I just have to say, it is so doable to quickly develop more patience or kindness or joy or whatever. But I do have to warn you, you gotta train like you want it. And this is the really hard one, you gotta actually want it. That's the hard part. But if you don't, then that's where you start praying. Work on that one first. You have to actually want these things. You have to want to be more like Jesus. So make a list and start small, please, like I did. Maybe just drive the speed limit. Let people finish their story. And when you eat, chew. Don't swallow the big hunks. And when you pick your line, don't compare your progress with the other line. It's the little things, baby. Oh, and deliberately spend a little time with the Lord in His Word. But please, not too much. Not too much. Don't overdo it. Just enough to tune your ear to His voice. I love how Solomon puts it. Don't be excessively righteous. Why should you ruin yourself? Right? You go for too much too soon, you'll give up. Yeah, you really want to grow, go for less. Train like an athlete. Go to failure. See failure as success. Evaluate. Rest. Recuperate. Try again. And so do put what you do here into practice that day. And then look for and celebrate the little gains. It's really important. And train like you actually want those gains. That's your spiritual act of worship. I'll tell you another story. This was a Sunday school teacher from my boyhood church. She's long gone now. I am not judging her salvation. I'm just telling you a story about how awful she was. I knew this woman for 2 decades growing up in this church, and she seemed perpetually cranky and irritated. And I'm just going to say, I never personally saw the joy that she herself taught us was the hallmark of our faith. But here's why I'm sharing this. No one was surprised that she stayed that way. Everyone wanted her to change, But no one expected her to change. Nobody ever said, we need to call the elders. We need to call the elders and consider this longstanding believer who hasn't, who isn't being transformed by even one noticeable degree of glory. That meeting never took place. That conversation never happened. She was expected to affirm our doctrine, which she did, attend our services, which she did, support a ministry, which she did, avoid the obvious raunchy sins, which she did. But what was not expected was that day after day, degree by degree, she would train her face to reflect her faith. We didn't expect, no one did, that gradually over time she would become a little more patient or loving or joyful or kind. Even though we are quite clearly told that the fruit of God's Spirit can't not grow in the heart of every true believer. And so I'm gonna wrap up by drawing two things from this. Number one, no one close to you wants you to stay the way you are, especially Jesus, okay? Sorry to be the one to break it to you, but that is the truth. I'm sure that your good far outweighs your bad. Are you going to try to tell me or try to tell yourself that you've topped out? You know, yeah, I'm done. I'm just like Jesus. And if you haven't, why not go for the glory? And number two, and this I have all the passion for. Just let me just say in no uncertain terms that I, as your pastor, and you never hear me say that, so you know how serious I am. As your pastor, I absolutely expect you to be transformed. This is his place. So I await and anticipate that day after day, degree by degree, you will be yielding to the nudging of God's loving kindness, so that the face of Christ will be gradually, steadily, increasingly appearing in your face and your expressions and your attitude. Because that right there, that is what separates true believers from make believers. So consider yourselves separated. Christ didn't come, thank you. Christ didn't come and die and rise from the grave so we could spend our days down here griping about how slow that old woman with the coupons is. He came and died and rose so that all those who are truly his can rise above the ways of this world by training to the point of transforming our face as we face the way it works down here. That is, all those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. Because Christ-like character only comes from practicing making Christ-like choices. Just little ones. Just little ones. So when old Rose there is trying your patience, why don't you be training your patience and praying for old Rose, which is very Christ-like, rather than restlessly watching how much faster every other line is moving, which is very Bruce-like. And don't give up or change up the way you measure up or keep score, or you'll end up settling for so much less than our Savior's best. Because according to Scripture, and this is more than just a pun, he is the greatest bodybuilder of all. After all, it was he who gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that the body of Christ may be built up in the power of the light, of the knowledge, of the glory of the Son of God. Because from him, you know, the image of the invisible God, from him, the whole body grows and builds itself up in what? Love. Which only happens as each part, oh, that's each of us, as each part does its work. So let's train. Let's encourage one another. Let's train to the point of transformation and just shine the light of the face of our Father. And with all that in mind, oh, we better pray hard. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, Lord. Holy Spirit, inspire us to increasingly love those around us as much as we cherish and adore and excuse and defend ourselves. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for powerfully, patiently cheering us on. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.